everything that happens to the devotee is the will of Krishna. If one is taking diksha, if one is Sharanagati Jeev, he's completely surrendered to Krishna. And he's just serving Krishna and always remembering Krishna. And Krishna, he's having lila with everyone. There's Shristi lila and Kunja lila and Madhurya lila. So many lilas of Krishna, Bhagavan. Shristi lila, Pralaya lila. All these lilas he's having. So even the Bhada Jivas, the conditioned souls, he's having lila with them also. And when they turn towards him, then they come under the Daivi Shakti, the Yogamaya. Because now they're saying, Krishna, I was Bahirmukh, Krishna Bahirmukh, for time eternal. I never looked your way, I never thought about you, but somehow you've been merciful and turned my head towards you. And now I'm Krishna Vimukata. I'm looking at you, and I'm wanting to serve you and attain you and love you forever. So now, please help me. So then Krishna says, all right, now let's go. I'm going to take you now. So when one surrenders to Krishna fully, then he's in Krishna's boat. If you get in someone's boat, you don't know navigation. You can't read the stars. You can't navigate a boat. And there's only the stars and the wind and the instruments of the boat. If you have no knowledge of those things, you go nowhere. So the devotee surrendered and to Krishna. And then Krishna's he's the captain of the boat. He's everything. We're just a boat on the ocean of Krishna, and he's the captain. And it's his ocean. Sometimes waves, and sometimes you capsize. And sometimes you come, capsize means you turn over. Sometimes you come up, and sometimes your sails are full of wind. Ooh, you're just going so fast. And sometimes there's no wind, and you're just... It's called doldrums, in English, doldrums, when there's no wind, and you're just like going nowhere. It's a nautical term from the sailing world, but it's also gone into common society where someone's not doing anything or going anywhere. Oh, I'm in the doldrums. Doldrums. I mean, he said, my sails, are no wind in my sails. What are you doing these days? Not much. I go to work. I'm just not doing anything. I'm just in the doldrums. So Krishna, he's doing everything with the devotee. And when one realizes that, then he surrenders more and more and more. When we realize we're not the doer, that may take thousands of lifetimes to realize that we're not the doers. Krishna, you're doing everything. And you're somehow inspiring me to chant your name and serve you and speak about you. So let me do it like crazy, as much as I can. And you do that, then I've seen in my own life that Krishna's so playful, so merciful, so kind, and he's so intelligent, and he's so foreseeing, and every move he makes with his disciple is perfect. I was starting to say about Chitraketu in the sixth canto of Bhagavatam. He was a devata and a great devotee of the Lord, of Vishnu. And he used to fly around, and of course he enjoyed life also, heavenly life. And he had many heavenly girls on his flower airplane, and they would sing and dance in the airplane, a very huge airplane. And they would all sing and dance all the glories of Vishnu and Krishna. And he would enjoy, and he would sing along with them. And somehow he laughed at Shiva. Shiva was sitting on Parvati's lap, and Shiva was speaking some harikata to some rishis, and he thought, well, this is funny. And Shiva was nonplussed. He didn't respond. But Parvati, feeling that her husband was insulted, she got angry, which is also good to protect her husband, defend her husband. So then, because someone says you can get angry if someone offends a Vaishnava, like Hanuman got angry at Ravana because he was a big offender. He stole Sita. So we can use our anger against the non-devotees. So here, Shiva is the Param Vaishnav. And Chitraketu is also a Vaishnav. But he's laughing at him. He's ridiculing him. So that's kind of a offense. So the anger of Parvati against Chitraketu was justified. It was called for in one sense. But she could have kept cool and peaceful and not be disturbed, recognizing that he's a great devotee. But she said something. So then she cursed him to become a demon. So now he became a demon, Vrishasura, in the sixth canto, but then he was totally surrendered to Vishnu because he was a devotee from his previous life. So externally he was in the body of a demon, but he's uttering so many fantastic prayers when Indra was cutting his head off. He's uttering the ultimate prayers of Sharanagati, Krishna Sharanagati, taking shelter of Krishna. So how did all these things happen to him? It's the will of Krishna. He's a devotee, fully surrendered devotee, Chitraketu. And he was so blessed by the Lord. Like Yudhisthira, he's a fully surrendered devotee of the Lord. He's so blessed, he was the emperor of the entire world. He had unlimited gold. His wife Draupadi was a goddess of fortune. And he had so much influence and prestige as the eldest of all the Pandavas. And it was amazing. Five men can share one wife and no one was angry and no one was envious. All the Pandavas are so courageous and so powerful and so invincible, yet they were free from pride and free from envy. Oh, you're with Draupadi, I'm not with Draupadi. They are the finest example of brotherly love and what to speak of husband-wife love. One wife and five husbands. Because as individuals, Yudhisthira, Arjuna, and Bhima, Nakul, and Sahadeva, each one unto themselves, they're all pure devotees of Krishna. They had different characteristics in Lakshana, but they're all pure devotees, they're all non-envious, they had no greed, no envy, no lust, anything. They all loved each other, and they loved Draupadi. It's like ideal. So but they were so opulent, and they were devotees, so Krishna, whatever happens to a devotee is Krishna's will. Chitraketu, he was flying in the sky, and then next to him, he's a demon. So every devotee is like that, and Vishnath makes that point in his Tika, and many places, Rupa Goswami. It's very hard for us to accept this fact if we take in Diksha from Guru, we surrendered our lives to Radha and Krishna, that now our lives are in Krishna's hands. Because sometimes the devotees say, oh, Krishna, why are you doing this to me? But when he was giving you all good things, you didn't take issue with him. You just said, more, more, more. Ani Yor, give me more good things, give me more good things. Then when bad thing, when you get name and you get fame, like I'll say my example, you get name and you get fame and you get followers and all this, and then you think, yeah, this is great, more, more, I'm so great. Then all of a sudden, oh, acha, now let's give it. Because there's, you know, when you flip a coin, it has two sides, heads and tails, we call it. So, you know, you have this side, you have day and you have night. You have sun and you have moon. So Krishna said, okay, you're like this, Leela. I'm arranging all this, remember? Oh, I think I forgot. I think maybe I forgot. Okay, now watch this. Oh. Now I'm really remembering. Hey Bhagavan, hey Krishna, Sharanagati Prabhu. Hey, did you forget about me? I'm not on your list anymore? You don't love me anymore? So when it's all said and done and you finally get out of the washing machine and you finally get out of the dryer and you finally dust yourself off and start walking again on 2 feet and you think, wow, Krishna. Amazing. Like Jambavan and Krishna. Krishna, the famous story of Shamataka jewel and Dwarka Leela. Somehow the jewel ended up with the bear, and the bear gave it to his bear boy. His baby bear, because he had no interest in that. So the baby bear was playing with the jewels, Shamataka. And then a rumor was spread in Dwarka that Krishna killed Satyajit's brother, Prasena, and stole the gem. So there was a rumor spread about Krishna. So then he went there, and then Jambavan, when he went in the cave, Jambavan thought he was threatening him and attacking him because he entered his house, a transgressor of private property. So then Jambavan came out and fought him. They fought for 28 days and nights. He said Jambavan and Krishna were fighting like two hawks fighting over flesh. There's some dead body on the ground, two huge hawks or eagles. They're fighting each other with their wings. Get out of here. I want it. So it's like amazing. Because I've seen this years ago when the vultures were still existing. Now vultures have gone extinct. They're all died. So they were there on the banks of the Yamuna when the Yamuna was actually flowing here until 1990 or so, made some dam, 1988 or so. And I was down there chanting, and there's some dead buffalo washed up on another side. Oh, the vultures were standing on top of it, and what a ghastly scene. Ghastly scene, like Hieronymus Bosch from the 15th century. This artist had paintings of hell and all kinds of weird beings. Hieronymus Bosch or some German 15th century surrealistic artist. So here it was in front of my eyes in Vrindavan, very surreal. 50 vultures, these huge wingspan, 10, 20 and more would come. Then dogs were coming because they wanted, so the dogs were fighting the vultures and pulling the end. Oh, I was like, my God, what am I seeing? Reality tours. Amazing. Many unforgettable experiences from seeing Ras Lila and Jai Shingara to seeing this reality on the banks of the Yamuna. Dog-eat-dog existence. So it's all Krishna's Lila for the devotee. You have to see, basically, ultimately a choice is choice. When we have to make a choice, it's based on many things. It's based on sensual experience. It's based on the gathering of knowledge and intellectual analysis and logic. And ultimately, it's based on the heart and intuition. What does your heart say? You can collect so much knowledge about the environment or about people in the environment through the senses, through hearing from others, through study, but ultimately the decision is yours and the responsibility for the decision is yours, and that will come by Krishna in the heart, inspiration. Because it's very interesting in Hindi, there's a word inspiration and there's a word for love. The word for inspiration is prerana, prerana, and the word for love is prem. Prerana and prem. Inspiration leads to love. So Krishna is the one that gives the inspiration. Sometimes people say, they meet a guru and they say, I want you to be my guru. And the guru says, oh, this is quite amazing. How did you come up with this idea? So we have to go deep. And once a person gave me some good advice, I don't know how much I followed it, but I can pass it on to you and share it with you. It's very good advice. He said, before you take a major decision, some major decision, you should think 1,000 times. You should think 1,000 times about that, the pros and the cons and do's and don'ts, if I do or I don't. If I do, it's like this. If I don't, it's like that. And then you pray, and then you get inspiration and make your choice. And we don't even know how it happens. Sometimes, I was associating with one sadhu for 25 years. I never once had an idea in my mind that this sadhu will be my guru. 25 years. Not regularly, but periodically going, visiting, questions, whatnot. Few times in the year, maybe more. But Krishna had some plan. 25 years later, I said, Dasosmi. Hey, it's me, I'm back. What do you want now? What's your question? My question is, I want you. Gurudev, I want your kripa. I'm lost. I'm a lost soul. Kripa Kuru. So it goes like this. Jai Jai Radhi Jai Jai Sham Jai Jai Shri Vrindavan Dham Jai Jai Radhi Jai Jai Sham Jai Jai Shri Vrindavan Dham Pavana Radhi Te Ronam Pavana Shri Vrindavan Dham Pavana Radhi Te Ronam Pavana Shri Vrindavan Dham Jai Jai Radhi Jai Jai Sham Jai Jai Shri Vrindavan Dham
Jai Jai Radhi Jai Jai Sham Jai Jai Shri Vrindavan Dham
So we have Radhi, we have Sham, We have Vrindavan Dham, and we have Govardhan. What more? Jai Guru.